The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
That's it. It's that news time for the day. It's the Israel Report. We heard the jingle, so it's got to be you. Good afternoon, Rolien. Are you well?
That's my siren call. You played it, and here I come. I'm good, thanks, and you?
I'm also good. I'm thinking like Pavlov's dog. We play the music, and there you are. It's just too blooming marvelous. Serious stuff happening in Israel today, Rolien. Knesset shut down.
Yes, one of the members of the joint list has tested positive for COVID-19, and that has resulted in the Knesset being shut down. And this follows a few more schools being shut down after incidents of staff or teachers or students have tested positive. At the moment, we have about 285 students and staff infected with coronavirus, and just a while ago, a school in Spat, a ultra-Orthodox school, was shuttered after a staff member and a van driver were infected with COVID-19. And what the health ministry have said is that they're only going to shutter schools where students or staff or where there are any kinds of infections. They're not going to shut down all the schools across the country. You know, we have to try and keep as much business as usual. You know, it's also hard for parents who started to return to work to make the arrangements for children if all the schools are shuttered. So, you know, they're trying to balance the best of both worlds. Where there are infections, they'll shut down and put the kids in quarantine. And where everything is okay, let it carry on as normal.
Okay, interesting. Also very, very interesting is the story about the PA refusing tax transfers from Israel. What is Mr. Abbas after? What's the game plan here?
Well, this is in line with his decision to sever all ties with the United States and Israel, to end all kinds of cooperation. And, you know, one has to point out to Mr. Abbas that at this moment in time, when we are facing a global economic crisis, and the money that comes in from Israeli taxes accounts for at least 60% of the Palestinian Authority budget, that it is very, very foolish to be doing this to their citizens.
Is this a reaction to the annexation call? Is this a call for another intifada? What is going on?
Well, I don't want to use the R word. I don't think that, you know, we won't anticipate or think that there will be any kind of intifada. We are expecting that should the annexation go ahead, and if it does, it will possibly go ahead without the backing of the United States. We are prepared for a uptick in violence. You know, this is an issue that is dividing Israeli society. Israelis are extremely divided on whether or not we should go forward with this kind of maneuver.
What I found really remarkable yesterday is I would have thought, I'm no spokesperson for the right, I'm really not, but I did read yesterday that certain right-wing, certain settlers were saying that Trump is betraying Israel with this plan, and I think Netanyahu actually told them to keep quiet. Where's there even space for having a world view like that?
It's a very, very complex and complicated situation. You know, there's so many moving parts to this possible annexation. There, you know, we have to look at Israel's standing in the world, how it affects that, how it affects global Jewry. Is the timing of this responsible? Who is it immediately going to affect? The legalities of this, and you know, under international law, the territory that they are speaking about apparently is legal. It is legal to annex it. Also, looking from other perspectives, why is there a double standard applied to Israel with regards to annexation, then to other countries around the world? Also, you know, a part of the Trump peace plan was putting forward the proposal to Abbas and the Palestinian Authority that they can object to it. That's absolutely fine, and that's their right. But they have to come with a plan of their own. They have to come with suggestions. You can't just roundly cut off any kind of communication. You also have to come to the party, and the world is also fast losing patience with the Palestinians as well. So it's a complete rigmarole, and as we say in Hebrew, it's a complete balagan.
Balagan. Yeah, it is interesting how much criticism has been leveled at Abbas by Arab opinion pieces that I've read in the past couple of days, saying he's just refused to negotiate. His denialism has brought this on himself.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? He's extremely stubborn. He's extremely dogmatic. At some point, you know, he's not going to get the whole cake. You know, that's a given. It's not going to happen. This is possibly the best deal that they're going to get on the table. You have to make some kind of maneuver. You have to make some kind of gesture where negotiations can start. You know, you can't just throw your toys and expect everybody to abandon that. At some stage, you've got to say, okay, I don't like this, but I'm willing to sit down and let's hammer this out. Also, if we look at the side of Israel, this is not optimal time to be possibly annexing any kind of territory. We've got huge challenges on us at the moment with regards to dealing with the corona crisis, the impact on our economy. We're also now caught between China and the United States, you know, in their tit for tat kind of rhetoric. You know, now is not the time for that. Now it's, you know, time to focus on one crisis at a time.
Absolutely. Rolene, he threatened Abbas to cut off security coordination with Israel. Has he delivered? Has he gone through with that?
Well, apparently he has stopped a large amount of security cooperation, and that's paramount at the moment. It is an absolute necessity that that we cooperate on the ground. Also impacted are the Palestinians with regards to the corona crisis. You know, it's not just about security as far as preventing terror attacks or the possibility of violence. It also now has to revolve around keeping as many civilians safe as far as COVID-19 is concerned. And we've had that infamous incident within the last weeks of the Palestinian Authority rejecting aid that came from the United Arab Emirates that was earmarked for Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. You know, they refused, he refused point blank to take that. You kind of want to scream at him, you know, what are you doing? You're cutting off your nose to spite your face. You know, you're really acting like a toddler.
But there's a history of that. Yeah, there's a history of that. Which brings us kind of nicely onto the final subject for this afternoon, which is that Israel's foreign ministry sees a significant change in Arab world attitude.
Well, this is fascinating. You know what? They are dedicating a lot of time and effort to engaging with the Iranians through various social media and in Farsi, which is the language that is spoken in Iran. You know, the Iranians are Persians. They're not Arabs. They speak Farsi. They don't speak Arabic. And what they're finding is that first of all, there are about 500,000 followers to the Farsi Instagram page, and that a dialogue is starting to happen. And not only do Iranians, many of them want to escape the regime, and we would so love to help them, you know, with issues of asylum, but many of them have expressed the fact that they feel that Israel is the one source for credible information about corona. Which I find absolutely fascinating. And they're very, very curious about Israel and Israelis. And, you know, slowly but surely we are beginning to break down the perceptions or the misconceptions that people have about ordinary Israelis. And, you know, it's a very positive thing. And like we've said on so many occasions, our issue is not with the Iranian people. Our issue is with the Iranian regime that suppressed the Iranian people.
Interesting, interesting, interesting. Rolene Marks, toda rabba. Thank you very much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Sof shavua na'im. And everybody, just be safe and healthy.